If you drive in certain parts of the valley, you might be getting used to seeing self-driving cars on the road. Waymo has a fleet of minivans with big cameras on top driving around the East Valley. And in April of last year, the Google company launched an early ridership program here.
Now hundreds of people here can call up a driverless car to go to work or to the doctor, or in the case of Tempe retiree Barbara Adams, to go to her weekly book club or to meet friends for dinner. Or
my very favorite thing to do is to go to the mall, because in the summertime you don't have to park and walk a million miles in 120 degree heat, and at Christmas time you don't have to find a place to park. You just step out of the car and wherever you want to be, and you can shop your way through the mall, and when you get to the other end you just step out to whatever that curb is and call the Waymo again.
Adams is one of the early riders who signed up to be in the early adopters for this burgeoning technology. And she says for her and her husband, it was a matter of convenience more than anything else.
Originally, we found it because the announcement to sign up early riders was on the computer one morning. And my husband said, "You want to do this? This sounds like fun." And I went, okay. We had, at that point, we had three of us, my youngest son and the two of us. And we only had two cars, and so it was sometimes got a little dicey about that. And we thought, oh, well, this will give us another car, another opportunity. And also, we're just so fascinated by the technology.
What do your friends think? What do the other people in your life think? Are people, like, completely flabbergasted by the fact that you do this, or what was the reaction?
They always want to see it. You know, what do you do? And, well, you walk up to it and you press the button and you get in, you know. But everyone's just, you know, they're just, like in my book club, they all want to go outside and see me get in the Waymo.
But self-driving cars have a long way to go before everyone is ready to jump in and take a ride. In March, the public perception of the technology had a massive setback when an autonomous Uber vehicle hit and killed a Tempe woman who was crossing the street at night. Since then, the company ended its self-driving operations and testing here in the valley.
So Waymo is slowly rolling out its technology here and focusing on safety, but its cars have been driving on public roads here for some time now. In fact, today the company announced its vehicles have officially driven 10 million miles on public roads, many of them right here in Arizona. And I got to check out how it all works at their Chandler facilities. Product manager Clem Wright showed me around the Chrysler Pacifica minivan.
So let's take a look towards the front of the car. And you can see these little spinning gray LiDAR. So these let us use lasers to see things that are near the car, like smaller people or a ball that might be rolling under the car. We also have radar that lets us see how far away things are and how fast they're moving.
And then the camera's on top, right?
Yeah,
this is the thing you can actually recognize if you see the car driving around.
Yeah, you'll see the big black dome on top. So that has camera in it, which lets us see high definition and in color, so we can see you know, what color a traffic light is, so we know when we can go. Mm-hmm. And there's also long-range LiDAR up at the top, and that lets us see up to 3 football fields in all directions and detect objects that are coming.
So what else is there that's distinct about this?
So yeah, let's just take a look inside and you can see some of the other things that differentiate us. So you can see we have a child seat in the back for any of our early riders who want to take a child along. And we can fit 3 adults. We also have our test drivers who are sitting in front. You can say hi to them.
Hey guys.
Hi. And so you can see on the back of the driver's seat headrest and the front passenger seat headrest, we have passenger screens. So these let the user know what's going on. So they're telling us to close the doors, fasten our seatbelts, and then press start.
That's my door, isn't it?
Take a look up here, a console with a few different buttons. And one is a help button, so that contacts our rider support team. There's also a lock, unlock door button, a button to pull over if you want to do that, and then a nice big blue button to start the ride.
So if I were in the early rider program and it comes to my house, it picks me up, I get in the back seat or the middle seat here in one of these pilot seats, are these two nice gentlemen in the front, or is this no one's in the front seat?
In some of our rides, we do have no one in the front seat. We do have test drivers in our rides as well.
Okay, so that's like a mind bend for a lot of people, right? How do you address that with people, or the people who are signing up excited about that?
They're really excited, and I think once we get riding, we'll see how the passenger screens help tell the story of what the car is perceiving and thinking and planning to do next. And that does a lot to help people feel more comfortable of, the car knows what it's going to do.
Okay. You want to get going?
Yeah, let's do it. Do you want to go ahead and press the start ride button?
Okay, so it says on the screen in front of us where we are.
Yep.
And then the car is just going.
And if you take a look, the driver up front has his hands off the steering wheel, and the steering wheel is moving on its own.
Yeah, you are not touching that steering wheel. That is weird.
It's a pretty cool experience, yeah.
Okay, so it's just kind of slowly maneuvering around everything, but you can see on the screen right in front of us everything around us. Like there are little squares or rectangles for all the other cars. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's one that just jumped over there. And then that comes up there. You can even see the trees are kind of appearing and not appearing. What else do you see on the screen all the time?
So you see the path ahead of where the car is planning to go. So you can see these other objects, whether they're pedestrians or vehicles that we're planning around. And then you can see, hey, okay, the car's going to take a right here around this corner. You also see the street name that you're currently on, location, and some other information. So maybe it's a 10-mile-per-hour zone, or maybe you're moving up to a 40-mile-per-hour zone.
So let's talk about this early ridership program. First of all, why Phoenix?
Phoenix is great. The local community has been really welcoming to us here, and the weather is great for self-driving cars. It's really sunny, and the roads are nice and wide, and it's a good place to start to learn to drive.
And the regulations here make it a little easier, right?
That is true, yeah.
So how many, you said hundreds of people are in this early ridership program to begin with?
Yes, we have hundreds of people taking rides every day, so over 400 riders we announced in June.
So do you pay to be in this program? How did you get people involved?
We had tons of people sign up just out of enthusiasm and excitement for the program. To take rides, people do pay for the rides. However, to sign up to be in the program, people are just really excited.
There has been some controversy around self-driving cars, definitely with Uber, who had to basically pack up and move out of Arizona after that accident that killed a woman in Tempe not long ago. So there are safety concerns. People are afraid of that, I'm sure. How is Waymo addressing that, especially in rolling this out here?
Yeah, safety is 100% our number one concern, and it should be for any company that's entering this space. And the biggest thing we can do is grow experience. So we've recently reached over 10 million miles driving on public roads and 7 billion miles in simulation. So that's when we simulate a car driving and add additional constraints to ensure that we're doing the safe thing. So it really comes back to that experience. We've amassed that over 9 years, taking rides and teaching our cars how to drive. And at every stage, we proceed with safety as the number one thing in mind.
I want to ask a little bit about oversight. One of the things that is a criticism of companies like this is that there's not a lot of federal oversight, nothing like you would have to if you were putting a new plane on the market or something like that. Is that something that Waymo is addressing, or do you think that that adds a layer of difficulty in terms of trust for customers?
I think that we are working very closely with relevant authorities as we proceed, and at every step of the way, we're ensuring that we're abiding by the law. And since safety is such just core to our experience, that we feel that we can get that message out.
So let's talk about the public perception of this. Like when we sat down and the car started driving itself, yeah. That freaks me out, right? As somebody who's never seen that before, is this like a slow process for people, the general public, to say, yeah, I totally trust this?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think we're introducing a totally new paradigm into the world. And any big change like that is going to take time for people to accept. And that's why when we launch our service is going to be an incremental rollout. We're going to go step by step and make sure that we are, as we expand to more area, we're doing in a really safe way. And as people are getting more and more accustomed to our cars, we can proceed further.
What are some of the bigger challenges in terms of making this technology work that the company has addressed and tried to fix and that have been not so easy to fix?
Yeah, for sure. So we spoke a little bit about why Phoenix is a great place to drive because of the weather. We've worked really hard. We're driving in tons of different parts of the country. We're driving in Michigan, for example, to learn how to deal with snow. It's not a problem for Phoenix, but for snow, for example, one of the things we do is use machine learning technology to adjust, and basically we can see through the snow in some sense. And so it's hard to describe in layman's terms, but through like careful simulation, we can actually be able to see through what might look opaque to a normal human driver with our sensors.
So that would be better than a human driver?
In some cases, yes. There are a lot of advantages to our technology. So a normal human driver might get sleepy or tired, or they might drink some alcohol. Our cars never get drunk, they never get tired, and they can see in 360 degrees in all directions up to 3 football fields lengths away.
And I guess that's one of the main premises underlying all of this kind of technology, right? Is that human drivers are not that good. Driving is pretty dangerous still, right?
Yeah, I think the fact that our cars don't text has a lot going for it. I think there's still a lot to learn, and we're being very careful as we roll this technology out, but we do think there's room to improve on how humans are driving today.
It's barely rolling out here now. There have been some bumps along the way in terms of the technology as a whole. At this point, when you look forward 10, 20, 50 years down the road, is this technology pervasive? Like, do we not each own our own car and drive ourselves to work every day?
You know, it's always hard to predict the future and exactly when these things will happen. And in different areas of the country, our technology will be ready sooner, and there'll be certain places where it makes more sense to roll out faster. I think humans behind the wheel will be a reality for a considerable time, but we'll slowly roll this out and make sure that we are helping get it out there as quickly as possible, because, you know, we do believe it will be safer for the world.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Clem Wright is a product manager at Waymo, who gave me a ride along in one of the company's self-driving cars.